in our Identifying Christian Essentials series. And we want to highlight those things that Jesus specifically commanded that are essential to the Christian life. And today we're going to talk on a subject that, part of me said, maybe I should wear a hockey helmet. Because I'm preaching on baptism. There's a lot of views. You might say, I don't agree with you. Wham! Might want to throw stuff at me for saying something you might not agree with me, or why'd you have to say that? Unfortunately, that which should really unite us and bring us together to celebrate the work of the cross has become so divisive in Christian circles. It's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Because baptism should be our equalizer. It is where we just testify what Jesus has done for me. And yet we have dividing lines. Churches who won't do this and go there because they have a different teaching on baptism. And that's very unfortunate. And we just want to sort of go back. Say, what does the Bible have to say? Love the story of the old drunk who got saved at a revival meeting. And as soon as he got saved, the pastor wanted to take him to the river to get to baptize him right away. And while he just had been saved and he was still a little sauced from drinking all night, and so as the pastor pushed him down the river and brought him back up again, he said, did you see Jesus down there? And the guy said, nope. And he pushed this guy down and baptized him again and brought him back up again. Did you see Jesus down there? The guy said, no, I didn't. And the pastor pushed him down the river one more time, baptized him another time, brought him back up again. And he said, did you see Jesus down there? And the old man said, nope, was he supposed to be lost over here? And so our desire is, we talk about baptism, you would see Jesus. This is about Jesus. I am buried with who? With him. Who did I die with? I died with Christ. Who was I raised with? I was raised with Christ. So in this subject today, we want to make sure that when all is said and done, our hackles weren't raised. We didn't disagree with something and walk away upset. We just want to see Jesus in this. We want to make sure that we see it as the Bible sees it. Now, as a Baptist church, we baptize by immersion. And we don't baptize by immersion because we're Baptists. We baptize by immersion because that's what the Bible teaches. It's a Bible thing. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. I read about a group of pastors who were attending a conference in Scotland. And one evening they're walking around town looking at all the sights, and they came to a bridge that spanned a river, and not noticing that the bridge was unsafe to cross, they started to walk across the bridge. And suddenly the bridge keeper kind of woke up and realized somebody's starting to cross this bridge. So he quickly hauled her out and told him to step back. It wasn't safe. And one of the guys from the group said, well, that's okay. He said, we're Presbyterian from the conference. We're okay. And the bridge keeper replied, well, I don't care who you are, but if you don't get off the bridge, you'll soon all be Baptists. And we are a credo Baptist church. Credo comes from the Latin word, I believe. It is a believer's baptism church. We preach that the Bible teaches believer's baptism. One of the leaders of the early Christian church, his name was Tertullian, and he was a third century lawyer who became a Christian. And leave it up to lawyers, once in a while they come up with some really good one-liners. And he came up with a one-liner that is still true today. This one-liner has stood the test of time. And here's what he said. Custom without truth is only error grown old. Think about that. Custom without truth is only error grown old. In other words, the question must never be, what is our practice? What's my heritage? The question is always, what does the Word of God teach? That's the bottom line. And zip quiet here. Let me give you a little bit of history of baptism. And I can't go back far enough in history to tell you the origins of the practice of baptism itself. But the precursor to Christian baptism was baptism into Judaism. Jews practiced baptism by immersion. And when we were in Ethiopia last year, and we went and we saw a lot of these old places where they've been around for a long, long time. And some of the baptismal places that are mostly 2,000 years old. Out in the rock, this huge little baptismal tanks, you know, to the rock. They have practiced baptism by immersion for 2,000 years. It's always been that. It was there before Christianity. Jews baptized by immersion. If you were a Gentile, this is before the time of Christ. Let's go back over 2,000 years. If you were a Gentile, and you wanted to be a follower of the one true God, who was the God of Israel, and you wanted to join the Jewish community of faith to believe in the one true God, remember this is before the time of Christ, you would have to do three things. If you were male, you had to be circumcised. Then you had to be baptized by immersion as a symbol. You were dying to the old way of the idolatrous way of life, worshiping, following other idols and other gods, and that you died to the old way and you were buried to it and you were raised to newness of walk with this new community of faith, believing in this one true God. And so, Jews would baptize Gentiles into the Jewish faith as a sign of their conversion to Judaism. Then, of course, the Gentile had to bring a blood sacrifice, symbolized the atonement that God had provided for his forgiveness. And so baptism was practiced before Jesus came along, before the New Testament church. And I did not have enough time to dig into the history of how long the Jews did that. Of course, we don't find that in the Old Testament. And we know that was the practice, which is why when John the Baptist came along, what was he doing? He was baptizing people by immersion. Even before Jesus came to preach the gospel, he was already baptized. That, it was an old practice. It was around for quite a while. And I find it very interesting that even before Jesus began his ministry, John is called John the Baptist. He was already baptizing people. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, and verse 1 and 2, 5 and 6, says here, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Then we go down to verse 5. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. I mean, they had it right all along. Confessing their sins, being baptized in the river. Of course, they liked to baptize what they called living waters or flowing rivers. That was their preference. And if you couldn't find a flowing river, because they liked the symbolism of the flowing river, then they would find a stagnant pool of water. But they preferred to do it in a river, if at all possible. All right, let's jump right in. What does the word baptize mean? It never is defined for us as a word in the Bible. Now, let me tread carefully. Listen to me. As I try to give you as unbiased as possible, what happened? When King James had the King James Bible translated into English, most of us are aware of the King James translation. King James was not only king of England. He was the head of the church. When he ordered a new translation of the Bible. And when the translators came to the word baptize, he ordered them not to translate it, but to transliterate it. So when they came to the word baptize, they wouldn't use a word that would describe what it was. Why? Because they didn't practice believer's baptism, then they practiced infant baptism. And so in order not to disturb the practice of the church, rather than defining the word and using that word in the translation of the scriptures, they just took the word and they made it sound into an English word. So from baptizo to baptize, they never actually translated the word. They just transliterated it so they wouldn't have to change their practice. We can actually mess with the Bible sometimes to make it suit what we're doing. So that's what he was doing. That way they can keep on practicing what they were practicing. And that way, there's that division between them and the others. And of course, since then, many reformers came along and taught what meaning was. And of course, that has resulted in a lot of evangelicals losing their heads, losing their lives in the 1600s, because they dared believe in believer's baptism. And for that, many people lost their lives. Because the word baptizo in Greek means to immerse, to put into. Actually, the Catholic Church actually practiced infant baptism by immersion until about 500 years ago. So immersion has been a constant practice in many circles. What we believe the Bible teaches about this is that this is believers' immersion. Now, as I was looking at different verses on baptism and all that, and this might just be an incidental thing, but in John chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, I was reading this week. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem. Why? Because there was plenty of water there. They were looking where there was lots of water so they could baptize by immersion. So that was the practice, okay? And so what we have is two words in Greek for baptism. We have bapto, which means to put into. And then we have baptizo, which means to put into with the idea of change or having a meaning to it. So for example, I'm going to give you an example of some Greek literature where we see the difference. In 2nd century even BC, there's a little script from a man named Nicanor who is giving a recipe for making pickles. And this is what it says. First, take the pickles and bapto them in hot water. Then, baptizo them in vinegar. Notice the difference? Bapto, to put into. Baptizo, to put in with the idea of changing. Now we're going to pickle it with vinegar. The word for baptism in the New Testament is not bapto, but it is baptizo, with the idea it points to some change. There is some significance. It's not, oh yeah, yeah, I went to church and had baptism, saw some wet people. No, they weren't just baptized. They were baptized. They were put in because it had some meaning. It pointed to a change that had taken place. So we are a baptizo church. Remember just before, well, Jesus was crucified at his trial, Pilate, he had a whale of a time because he was trying to release Jesus and let him go because he didn't find any reason to crucify Jesus, and yet people kept saying, crucify him, crucify him. What did Pilate finally do to wash himself of all responsibility? He had a bowl of water, and he immersed his hands in it, and he washed his hands, and he said, I absolve myself of all responsibilities. What was he doing in the ceremony of putting his hands in the water and washing and coming out? It was, he was doing something with the idea of a meaning, symbolizing, I'm washing myself of all responsibility. If you want him dead, okay, you can have him dead, But boy, it's not my responsibility. It's not in my hands. The blood is on your hands. And so when we baptize us with the idea of a meaning, it portrays something of a change that has taken place. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, don't you know all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism, into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too. It says he was raised, we too may have a new life. If we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we've died with him, we believe we will also live with him. The key here is the word with. It's with. When I was put into the water, I was identifying that I had died with him. As I was in the water, for a second, or two, or three, I identified I was buried with him. As I came up out of the water, I was symbolizing that I am with him in the spirit of life. I am with. I'm uniting. This is a picture. It is the only picture the Bible gives as to what happened when we said yes to Jesus. I went down and I died to my old self and I came up a new person. And that's what baptism symbolizes. It is that simple. And the baptizo in Romans 6 is not water baptizo, it is spirit baptizo. I remember being in a theology class with a Dr. Stephen Woodward, who was a Presbyterian theologian, ended up with Wycliffe translators as being one of their key people to make sure they stay theologically accurate. And I remember being in the Romans class, and he was such a deep thinker, I was always lost. I'd end up thinking about sports and girls while I was preaching through Romans. He was such a deep thinker, and I just go, oh man, you just walk out so tired. Because he just had such deep thoughts and he had such deep understanding. He would just emphasize over and over to a class, look at the context. Look at what Paul is trying to teach us. Look at through chapters 1 through 5. Look at we're saved by faith alone. It's faith, faith, faith. When we come to Romans 6, when we are baptized into Christ, it is the Spirit baptism that identified us with Christ when the Spirit of God baptized us into the body of Christ. This is a spiritual baptism, not a water baptism. Now, when we do water baptism, we identify that as that's the picture of the Spirit put us to the death and the resurrection of Christ. This is a picture. Because baptizo doesn't mean dip in water. It just means dip into. You could be immersed in your thoughts. You could be immersed in a lot of things. You could be immersed in the Spirit. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 says. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into the body of Christ. Same word. We've been placed into. We are in Christ. Baptized into. And with that came a change. I'm a different person. Jesus has changed my life. That's why in baptism, it's not bapto, it's baptizo. It's being going down with the idea of signifying a change has taken place. Something is different. My soul, my heart, my mind, my life is immersed, is baptized in the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. I am united with him in every way. United in his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, I see sin differently. The moment I became a Christian, I saw sin differently. I saw it as being much more sinful than I did before I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian, sin was something I wanted to do. And it lured me. And it really lured me. After I became a Christian, I had a much more of a longing to be away from sin and to be right with God, walk with God. I see sin differently. I see Jesus differently. I see holiness differently. I just see life differently. Things change when Jesus came into my heart. Prior to his conversion, Augustine, who was one of our great leaders of the early Christian church, prior to that, Augustine lived quite on the wild side of life, and you can just read into that. But he met the Lord. One day as he's walking down the street in his hometown, his former mistress saw him and ran up to him and said, Aurelio, Aurelio! And he would just ignore her, just acknowledge her, just kept walking. And this is the first time she'd experienced this, and so she just ran up to him, grabbed him, and said, Aurelio, it is I! He turned to her and says, dear lady, this is mine. The old Augustine didn't live anymore. He wasn't going to live that way of sin anymore. He said, I've said no to the life of sin. I'm a new person in Christ. Something had changed. He wasn't the old Augustine anymore. He had a new view of life. And when the Bible says, I've been died with him, and I'm putting away this body of sin, it doesn't mean that as a Christian it's now impossible to think to sin, but it should be unthinkable. It's not something we would want to do. I'm a new person. I'm different. I've been released from the heaviness and the burden and the guilt. And I'm light and I'm free and I'm forgiven. I feel so whole. And there's more light in my eyes. There's more light in my soul. I'm a new person. I don't want to be clouded with all that junk from the world again. I want to be freed from that stuff. It should be unthinkable that we would desire to go back into darkness after we've seen the light. Now, friends, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. The passage Ross read for us, with us. And we are going to look at a passage that I've had more than one argument over. My privilege this morning is, hopefully you won't argue back. You don't have a mic, so I'll stay with my argument today. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I had quite an argument with a Church of Christ pastor. They're not all the same. Some Church of Christ, they teach genuine born again without baptism. Some say you can't be a Christian without baptism. This particular pastor, that he believed very strongly, unless you were baptized, there was no forgiveness of sins. There was not. You could go to a Billy Graham crusade, accept Jesus into your heart, and you still weren't a Christian until you went to the church and were baptized. That's when you were a Christian. We had some real arguments about that one. I'd say to them, you mean to tell me all Salvation Army people aren't saved? They don't baptize. They just preach the gospel. He just looked at me and he wouldn't answer me. Is it true to receive the Holy Spirit you have to be baptized? What does it say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Okay, let's have a little English lesson. Repent is in the second person plural active voice. I know, I've just lost 99% of it. Okay? Second person plural, it's in the active voice. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's in second person plural. You. It's active receive. Okay? The word be baptized is in the third person singular passive voice. So now you're going to go, no, 99.9% are lost. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The main verse reads, repent for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And it's like there's a little clause in there. Oh, by the way, each one of you should be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's like a subordinate clause, like a dependent clause, dependent on the main verse. The main verse says, repent for the forgiveness of your sins, You will receive the Holy Spirit. And then it's like right there, there's this bracket, this clause. Oh, and by the way, while I'm preaching this to all of you, plural, singularly, he says, oh, by the way, each one of you should allow yourself to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The receiving of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of forgiveness, predicates not on the baptism, but on the repentance. This is just, this baptism is a clause in there. I told Rachel, here are the keys. We'll start the truck, and by the way, put your coat on. Does she really need a coat to start the truck? No, it's just a little side command. Well, excuse me. I never command my wife, by the way. But in theory, let's say, because this is in the command voice, okay? This is actually, repent is actually a command. It's not a suggestion. Jesus commands people to repent. So, just for the sake of argument, I command my wife to take the keys and go start the truck and put her coat on, because it's cold outside. Well, that, put your coat on, that's like a little clause. You don't need it to start the truck. So we got here. This Bible, this verse says, repent. You want to be forgiven? Repent. And as you repent, as you receive the Holy Spirit, and your life is touched and changed, you should be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? Why does he say be baptized in the name of Jesus? Why did he throw that in there? I'll tell you why he threw that in there. Because the people he was talking to were already baptized. They've been baptized into the baptism of John. They've already been immersed once. They've already been baptized once. And they're going, what? Again? You're kidding. Oh, and now we're Anabaptists. Now we're baptized again. That's right. You were baptized into the Jewish faith. And now you are rebaptized in the name of Jesus. Not in John's baptism, but you're baptized in the name of Jesus now. The point back is John's baptism looked ahead for the coming Messiah. This baptism now looks back and thanks the Messiah for dying for us. So repent for the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means I can be free of my sin right now. I don't have to wait, fill up some water, everybody come over, hey, we're going to baptize. You can be free of your sin right now, just through repentance. You can walk out of here a different person, being released of all your sin. But then, as one, put their faith in Jesus. You will want to be baptized in the name of Jesus as a sign. It's Jesus that's changed my life. Not the Baptist Church. Not FCBC. Not some religion. It's Jesus that has changed my life. I've identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. I find it easy, amazing that Jesus was baptized. Think about that. Jesus himself was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And I can appreciate John's dilemma. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Jesus was baptized. Why was Jesus baptized? He wasn't a sinner. He didn't have a testimony of how he was a sinner and was freed from sin and now, you know, he's painting this picture, I'm changed, I'm new, I'm different. He didn't need to become a believer. He didn't need to profess his faith in God. He was God. So why was Jesus baptized? It really doesn't say. It just says to fulfill all righteousness. But let's just imagine what a possible answer could be. Because I'm only giving you what is a possibility and in my mind a probability. It was to be a physical picture of the gospel he had come to bring. The gospel is a gospel of death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said, I am coming to die for you, to be buried for your sins, and to be raised to newness of life. When Jesus was baptized, he was identifying himself with us. I'm doing this for you. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do all this for you. I'm going to die for you. I'll be buried for you. I'll be raised for you. Conversely, when we are baptized, we identify with him. This is what you did for me, and I thank you. I bear witness to you. So, when Jesus was baptized, he looked forward to his death, burial, and resurrection. And when we are baptized, we look back to his death, burial, and resurrection and say, that's what changed. His baptism looked forward to the death, burial, and resurrection. Our baptism looks back and says, thank you. Thank you. For us, baptism is a happy day. And we invite grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins. Hey, come to Faith Community Baptist Church. I'm getting baptized. Woohoo! You know, maybe bring a little present. You know, it's my baptism. Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt when he was baptized? It would have been with mixed emotions because for him that was a signal, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer some awful stuff. Jesus' baptism didn't have the same joy ours has. It was a baptism with sorrow, a baptism with grief, mixed with anticipation and joy what his death would have brought. So I think his feelings would have been a little different than ours are when we are or were baptized. Now just think of it. He's 30 years old. If he'd been like any other guy, he would have been married. He would have some kids, maybe four or five kids. And he'd lived life for a while. He's a busy man. And he was from the community. And he was a busy dad and busy husband. Here he is, 30 years old. And suddenly, he asked to be baptized. What? Why would you do that? You were already done when you were a baby. And your parents took you to the church, took you to the temple, and you were circumcised, you were dedicated, and we gave you a name there on the next day. I mean, you were done when you were an infant. Isn't that good enough? At 30 years of age, you bore witness to the world. What the gospel is all about, what it would mean for him, what it would cost him, and his example, what it would mean for all of us. Now, friends, if Jesus got in the flesh, could humble himself enough to get baptized, is it too much to ask each one of us to be baptized, be identified with his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the change he made in my life? What is the New Testament counterpart to the Old Testament sign of circumcision? There are some who say, well, in the Old Testament, the sign was circumcision, and New Testament, it's baptism. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. If anything, if you turn to Colossians chapter 2, it will say in verse 12 and 13, it will say that the new circumcision is a circumcision of Christ. The New Testament counterpart to the Old Testament circumcision is not baptism. It is a circumcision of the heart. A circumcision of the heart. It's repentance. Repentance, repentance, repentance. According to Colossians 2, through faith, we are circumcised in Christ. That's what we bear witness. Baptism is just a sign of that new cutting away of sin from our lives. So, in application, what are we trying to say this morning? First of all, it's never too late to obey Christ.
It's never too late to obey Christ. I think the oldest person I baptized was in her 80s. Been a Christian most of her life. Just never got around to be baptized. I remember having lots of discussion with a very dear friend of ours from Medicine Hat, who was a Salvation Army officer. Like I said, the Salvation Army historically doesn't baptize. And he ended up in our church actually being a worship leader. And he's a professor at Medicine Hat College. And he said, why do I need to be baptized? I've been a Christian most of my life. I've served Salvation Army in so many different forms and fashions. I've borne witness to my faith in Christ. I'm born again. I'm repented. You know, I've given my testimony. Why do I need to be baptized? And he resisted. He resisted. He resisted. But you know, bit by bit, with New Testament teaching, you know what Jesus' last will and testament was? What was Jesus' last wish? Go and make disciples what? Baptizing them. That was Jesus' last will and testament. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we would just go through various passages of baptism, and he finally came to the point where he said, okay, Art, you won. No, I didn't win at all. You just said yes to Jesus. This is his last will and testament. That as a believer, you bear witness to what he has done for you. It's never too late to obey Christ. And one person that really rocked the world when he did this was President Eisenhower. He is the only president of the United States in their history, while being in the office as president in the White House, that he made a profession of faith, confessed his sins, repented, was born again, and went through believer's baptism and applied for membership, became a member of a church. As a president of the United States of America. Well, that sure rolled eyes around the world. Wow. American president really got religious all of a sudden. You know what, when he died? Representatives from 100 nations were at his funeral. And at his funeral, they sung songs of the gospel and the blood of Christ. They sung songs that celebrated the gospel and his conversion to Christ. And a simple message was given of the life-changing gospel. And people around the world heard about Dwight Eisenhower's Christ. Now you can just imagine him saying, oh man, I'm one of the most powerful men in the world. This is embarrassing. No, it's not. What a privilege to humble yourself before a mighty God, before a wonderful Savior, and say, Lord, you've made this difference in my life, and I need you. And I need you. We all do. And so I'm just saying this to say this. It's never too late. Never too late. You have not gone through believer's baptism and borne witness that a change has taken place in your life. Will you consider saying yes? It doesn't matter what your history is, doesn't it? I struggled with this. I've been baptized a second time. I already was the pastor of the Baptist Church in Lansing when I was rebaptized by a virgin. I'm one of those that have been baptized a different way. I came to be the pastor of the Baptist Church in Lansing. I was a pastor there for 3 years. And God came to me and hit me really hard on the head one day. He said, Art, you need to humble yourself in front of your own congregation as their shepherd. You need to be an example. What it means to humble yourself. Do it the Bible way. Let's bear witness to the Lord has done the way God described. I fought with that a long time. How can I? I'm a pastor of a Baptist church. This is embarrassing. But no? No? And the Holy Spirit said, Art, it's not embarrassing. Art, it's just humbling. You're making this all about you. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you. It's about his death and burial and resurrection. That's what it's about. It's about obedience. It's about displaying a picture of your commitment and allegiance to Christ.
Well, I knew how my parents would feel. So, my wife and I both decided to be baptized on Easter Sunday, 3 years after being in that. I get a phone call. Hi, it's your dad. What are you guys doing for Easter? Oh, well, we have an Easter service. Well, we're coming for Easter. You're what? Because I wasn't going to say anything. Oh. We're Mennonites. We don't believe in war, but I knew there was going to be one. So I had to tell my dad, I'm getting rebaptized. Hoo-wee. I'll tell you. Pacifism just went out the window. Ah, so you mean what we did for you wasn't good enough? So what you're saying is that what happened to me isn't good enough. And all these questions, all the stuff started coming out. Folks, this is reality. This isn't a Christian home. This isn't even a non-Christian home. This wasn't in a Muslim country. This wasn't a Christian home. It's like, Dad, I appreciate everything I was taught. I really, really, really. I'm just fulfilling everything on my part. You did yours. Now I have to do my part. Well, they came. They sat in church as my wife and I were rebaptized by one of our elders, Clarence Wall. He baptized me, then I turned around and I baptized my wife. Okay, pastor. Well, dinner was rather quiet at the Hildebrand house that afternoon. My parents sat there quite somber. They got over it. You know what the hilarious thing is? A number of years later, my dad started attending a Baptist church in Morden. Wow. You know what? You're not being disrespectful to your operation. It's not about that. This is fulfilling all of it. Your parents did what they could. This was their heart. This was their desire. This is how things were taught. But now, once you have changed, what will you do to bear witness to what Jesus has done for you? That's my job. My parents did what they could, but now I have to do what I have to do. The Bible teaches very clearly that once I repent and ask Jesus in my heart to fulfill all that he has done for me, I bear witness. This is my oath of allegiance to the Lord. By going through the believer's baptism. It may be a struggle for some of you. I appreciate it. I just encourage you to have the same respect and reverence for what the Bible teaches as what your heritage was. That's all I'm asking. Just give the Bible the same reverence and give it due diligence for your obedience. This is what the Bible says. This is what I had a struggle with. The Lord is blessed. The Lord is blessed. The Lord always blesses humbleness. The Lord always blesses humility. Always. When we follow the Lord, believer's baptism is not only a symbol of our obedience to God, but it's a pledge of our allegiance to God. I am flying my flag. I am dying to sin. I'm going to live a new life. I love the story that took place in children's church. One little boy prayed to receive Jesus into his heart. And the children's pastor said, okay, go tell the senior pastor you just got saved and you need to be baptized. So as soon as church was over, this little kid went around looking for the senior pastor and he said, Pastor, I just got saved and I need to be advertised. Man, he hit it right on. Man, he hit it right on. I need to get advertised. This is what Jesus has done in my life. It's that pledge of allegiance. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I like this one-liner I got from I love reading Dr. Samuel Storm's materials. And he came up with this one-liner. Faith without baptism is like joy without a smile. Wow. Faith without baptism is like joy without a smile. In my believer's baptism, I am looking back, painting a picture. I've repented, I've said yes to Jesus, I've died to sin, and raised to newness of life. I close with this. You will remember the name Constantine. Constantine was the emperor of Rome. And he decided to make Christianity a state religion. So he forced all the soldiers to be baptized, and he drove all his, forced all his soldiers to go through the river and be baptized. So all of a sudden, everybody was a Christian. And one exception. All his soldiers were forced to go through the river to be baptized, but every one of them had to keep their right hand out of the water. Didn't want their right hand baptized. You know why? He didn't want them to become so Christian that he would kill them. That hand which held the sword, he had them keep it above the water. So that part cannot be crucified with Christ. You know, give me Jesus, but just not all of him. I need Jesus in my health. I need Jesus in my finances. And I don't need him when I get mad with people. I don't need him at my work. Okay? When I get baptized, the Bible says, I am buried with him. It all goes down. We should have all our wallets on us when we get baptized. We should have our Harley with us when we get baptized. We should give everything to God. So God all belongs to you. We're buried with him, died with him, raised him with you. Is there something that is holding you back? Is there a right hand in your life? Is there something that is holding you back from completely obeying what Jesus taught? Let's stand, sing, and close yourself. We'll be done. It's a very familiar hymn. It is a prayer. Put to music. As we sing, you make this your prayer. You make this your response. May this be their way of saying yes to Jesus as we sing this song. Let's sing it together.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Need to give all our earthly pleasures and desires to the Lord, so let's sing verse 2. Just tell the Lord that this is an area we need to give to him as well.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take May Jesus take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Ask for the Lord's filling of the Spirit. Verse 3.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. Make I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Fourth verse, the end of this. Says, all of Jesus I serve, I give myself. That's what the Lord's waiting for. Just give yourself to the Lord and give you all of this is the call. It's a call. I to sin. So let's sing verse 4.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender.
Lord, thank you for hearing our song. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Lord, if there's someone here today that would just like to say, yes, Lord, I need a change in my life. There's a reason why I'm here today. I'm not sure why I came, but Lord, I'm here. Lord, I need to say yes. I need to be freed of my struggles, my anxieties, my insecurities, my anger. Something inside me that keeps me from being happy. Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. Change me. Fill me with yourself. Wash all my sinfulness away. Give me your Spirit. Come now. Give me a new start, a new life. Freedom, joy, a life of purpose. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Lord, I just pray your blessing upon this fellowship, this congregation. I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, I commend your keeping, your power, and your grace, and your love over each one of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here this morning that maybe you need to reconsider, whether you haven't been baptized, you need to. Would you come by and just tell me, I'm thinking about it, or I'd like to. I know what God's doing in your heart. Let's just do what God wants us to do. Let's just make these God moments amazing. Thank you. God bless you. Be blessed. Have a good week.